The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Speak this morning and share the greatest gift ever. I love how Victor, what he said right now. God doesn't need this. He really doesn't need our worship. Because as we speak, as we're here, as you live your life second by second, he's being worshipped regardless. The angels worship him 24/7. Every second he's being worshipped. But it's when you love God, when you start coming and living for him, it's when you want to worship him. And this is a beautiful thing. And we are celebrating the most beautiful day ever, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the baby Jesus. God sent him as Jeremiah in this whole teaching we've been speaking on God's plan. He has a purpose and plan for everything he's done. And we needed help. Humanity needed help. As Jeremiah shared last week, he spoke on darkness. How the light penetrated the darkness. And we needed to be woken up. And this is the greatest day ever. There is no better gift you can get than salvation in Jesus Christ. He's the greatest gift you can ever receive. And it's sadly to say, but many people today are rejecting it. They're rejecting it. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning a little bit. So we'll go right into it. I'm going to speak right out of John chapter 10. Should be up there. There it is. I'll just read it off that. It says, John 10, 14 through 16. It reads like this. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this glorious, beautiful morning, God. I just feel the spirit of joy being at the month of Christmas, God, December, Lord. It's just a great spirit of joy and love in this place. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you for visiting us. Father, I pray that we can just get into your word and your Holy Spirit would just have its way this morning within our hearts and our spirit, Lord. So thank you for this day, and we just give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, people said, amen. All right. Like I said, sometimes when you deliver messages, I enjoy hearing Jerry and Jeremiah. They're a blessing to me, and I'm learning from them, and I'm learning from you. But a lot of times when you get up here to speak, I'm going to give you a scenario. It's kind of like surgery. You're first cut open, man. Then they're going to cut you. They cut you open. That's the hard part. But during surgery, they're fixing us up, right? And then they sew you up. So to me, speaking or preaching or teaching, it's kind of like surgery. So we're going to go through surgery this morning. Amen? I'm going to cut you right open right now with God's word. I'm not, but God's word. you know, we live in a world today that I'm 46 now. Jeremiah was right. I don't just play drums. That was my passion. Music was it. And I never knew God. See? But when I got into his word and I came to the knowledge of his spirit and learning and growing and praying and seeking him, that's second or third now. I love speaking about the Lord now. I love sharing Christ with whoever, believers or non-believers. We can still blend in with those that don't know just by how we act. It's important just to show them the love of Christ. That's very important. And today we live in a self-made world, a world of look at me. My name is Jimmy, 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 gimme, gimme, gimme. There's some people that way. It's about self and image, and this world and the culture has so much to do with it. And I hope I don't step on anyone's toes. I just say this all in love. That you know what? It's all about self sometimes. And we forget that it's about giving, not getting. We need to give of ourselves. You see? And what was God's whole plan in all this? From the beginning of creation, before he even created, you know what I summed up? God's whole plan when he just predestined the end, from beginning to end, as we know scripture, when Christ comes back. His whole plan to me was he created this massive universe, all that we can see and hear and try to fathom. The universes, the galaxies, the planets and this perfect earth that he made for humans. I believe he was thinking about us. He was thinking about giving all the best to us, to humanity, and all the other creatures we share this planet with. That was his whole plan. That's love. That's giving. That's when giving. That's the topic today, when giving overtakes getting and Jesus transformed our lives. That's what it's all about. God's plan is always giving. He always wants to give. But what happened? What happened? Jeremiah spoke of it last week. Sin came in. Darkness. We're marred by sin. But that's why Jesus had to come, as we read in John in the next scripture. If you throw it up there, please. There it is. Everyone knows 16, but we need to tie in 17 as well. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world might be saved through him." See, so we needed help. And this man came to over 2,000 years ago and gave his life for you and for me and for all the sins we've committed or could commit. You know, sin and hell, they're not easy subjects to talk about. But it needs to be heard once in a while. Because as we read scripture here, where we read right now in John, Jesus says, "My sheep hear." We have to hear as well. There's a hearing that takes place. Amen? Let's look at what the angel told Joseph. If we put up the next scripture. Matthew 1, 20 to 21. Look what it says. "But while he thought about these things, being Joseph, Mary was pregnant with Jesus. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take to you Mary, your wife, for which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth the son, and you shall call him his name Jesus.'" And here it is. "For he will save his people from their sins." I was at youth remix this past Thursday. I like what Jeremiah said, told the kids, and it just blew me away too. Imagine an angel appearing to you and giving you a message. I was like, when Jeremiah said that last week, like, wow, what if an angel appeared to me? That'd be so cool. I mean, you would be afraid. What is this? Wow. We would see a light. I don't know what Joseph saw, but it was an angel. We can all have our vision of an angel. But that was an awesome message he brought for us. And this is why we're rejoicing today. We should always have the spirit of giving. Not always look into what you can get. It's what you can give on for Jesus. Amen? I like here how it says we're a sheep. This is what I put. It's funny he compared us to sheep. A lot of you probably know in this room that we know that sheep are very dumb animals. They are. Some of you might have worked with sheep. I read a book I picked up in Revelation some years ago. I preached a sermon on just sheep. This pastor was a pastor, but he also had a ranch, which, and that's what he did. He raised sheep. And he said they were so dumb. Jesus is comparing us to sheep. So we can do some dumb things. And I'm going to get right into that. I got to share this. My wife's here tonight, this morning, and it's because of your prayer. She wasn't coming, but she had the strength. Praise God. I got a motorcycle. Tim knows that. Where are you at, Tim? Raise your hand. You got to hear this story. There you are. I've been looking at you. You're over there. I just recently learned how to ride a bike, but when I first got it, oh, man, self kicked in. I was cleaning in my backyard. My wife's way in the back doing something. We have a corner of our yard, like a junk pile of wood and just stuff there. And like, "Look, honey, I'm ready to ride it." And she goes, "No, not yet. You got to practice. You know how to do it." I got this. I threw it in first. I went straight into that pile. Wham! I fell. You know, that's why I've already fell once, Tim, so I've got experience. I hadn't heard my wife laugh like that in a long time. You know what was bad? She didn't let it go for a week. I go, "Okay, honey, it's enough. I know we fell." Everyone that showed up, "Hi, hey, guess what Frank did?" Oh, gosh. It goes on. We can be very dumb like sheep. It goes on. Last week, I'm in a hurry. I want to go to work. I'm running late, and there were some boiled eggs already in the fridge from a few days prior. So I stuck in the microwave. I'm getting ready, and the eggs are ready, and I bit right out of the microwave. I didn't know this. I don't know if you guys know this. Do not put a hard-boiled egg in the microwave, because when you bite it, you know what happens? They explode. There's steam in there. Whoosh! So I went to work with a lip. Oh man. It just goes on and on. I've had an interesting couple of weeks. And just last night, I don't know if you can see my hand, not very well, but I cleaned it. I worked with a friend last night. We're doing this Christmas backdrop for a Christmas play at another church. And I'm helping them, and I'm using this gooey stuff, this stuff you like an insulation that foams up when you spray it. It's yellow. Anyways, I'm spraying it. I'm working it. And he comes around. He goes, Frank, you shouldn't have used your hands. You should have put it. Why? That stuff's not coming off. Well, guess what? Frank's last night with a blade and paint thinner. I could not get. My hand was a mess last. I was going to get up here and think, these people are going to think I'm a leper or something. So we can do some dumb things. But you know what? Jesus loves us beyond all that. He still loves us through all our failures and frailties and mistakes that we can come up and sum up. He loves us. It's okay. Just don't keep doing it. I'm not going to tell my wife I'm good at the bike anymore, Tim. I'm not. I need practice. I'm going to remember that egg that blew up in my mouth. I won't do that no more. See, it's for our learning. It's for our learning. And not only that, I don't know a lot of you know about sheep. I learned a lot about sheep reading that pastor's book. Did you know sheep have no defensive mechanisms? I found that interesting. And I mean this. They don't have teeth or claws or growl to scare off anything. They have no defensive mechanism. You know all they have? Bah! 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 That's all they have. Oh, that's going to scare me. Bah! Whoa. That's all they have. And that's why Jesus wants us to be that timid. Some of us are quick to snap back. Claws come out, ladies. And the men, our chest comes out. Hey, what do you mean, man? We can. That's self. See, we are to be like sheep. That's why Christ called us sheep, like his sheep. And I put this, Jesus undoubtedly came to die on the cross, no doubt. That's why he came. That's our answer. If they ask you why do you believe in Jesus, he came to die on the cross. Right. That's very right. But look, I found this on the internet. Charles Wesley wrote this. I think I put it on there. That might be the next slide. It's not on there? Okay. Here it goes. It says this. It says, he left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. Isn't that amazing? That's Christ's love for us. That's God's love for humanity. He wants us to also be like him, to remember to give in whatever area or capacity that you may. So our first point would be this. Jesus came to transform us for an abundant life in him. That's in John 10:10. That's in John 10:10. There it is. Jesus came to transform us for an abundant life in him. And I got that straight out of scripture. It says that the thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly. It's okay to have a joyous life. Even if you're going through trials or difficulties. Because the first part, that's where the enemy tries to rob us. That would be Satan. I mean, I can share this. Me and my wife are going through a trial, but we're going to rejoice. We're going to trust God. That's the best thing to do. That's what we have. It's the love of Christ. We need to trust him. Jesus redeemed us. Did you know that also gives me a picture of redeeming something? Redemption is like an aluminum can. Jesus is into the recycling business. A lot of us were kicked to the curb. So Jesus picks us up like a recycling can. Takes you into the factory and makes you into something better. Useful. So he is. But God knows we're going to blow it at times. We are sinners. In Romans 3:20, 3:24, I'm sure you guys are familiar with a lot of these scriptures. I'm sure that's the next slide. See, for all have sinned. That means we're going to blow it at times and fall short. Oops. We're going to make mistakes. And we fall short of the glory of God. But I like the second half. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There it is again. It's Jesus. It's God. It's who we need to be a giving person. To have joy and peace in the middle of storms. I always share this everywhere I speak. I was at a conference in San Diego. I forget who I was with, but anyways, we're in this big gallery. Paintings everywhere, beautiful paintings. And I saw this big, huge painting, 10 by 10, huge canvas painting. It's just a storm, an ugly ocean, dark at night storm. Wow, look, immense. You can just see it's an immense storm going on. And I get closer to it and closer to it. I'm talking about an inch by inch square on the right side as I'm looking at it. I look there, right at the corner of this painting. There's a piece of a rock sticking out, and the little bird singing in the middle of that storm. Isn't that amazing? That tells me, you know what, we are going to go through some tough times. We are going to blow it sometimes. But you can still rejoice. We can still glorify God through all that. And when we do blow it, God, He'll forgive you if you repent. If you just apologize. If you make it right. We just got to make it right. And that's where transformation starts in our lives as followers of God. Those of you that follow and believe in Jesus here this morning. See, first we're redeemed. Redemption comes, okay? I'm going to break it down real quick. We're redeemed, just like the lumen can. Jesus has redeemed us. Then He justifies us. Justification is the process where He's already died on the cross for our sins. We're forgiven. God sees us sinless through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And Him dying for our sins is paid for. Just if I've never sinned. That's an easy way to remember justification. What does it mean? Just as I'd never sinned. It's paid for. But then comes sanctification. Sanctification is what some of us are still going through as believers now, as followers in the Lord. Those that have been trotting along. The sanctification process is not an easy one. Because it's a process. Justification is immediate. You're forgiven. Christ already paid it. But then here comes the sanctification. This reminds me of a sculptor. I'm sure these guys take these big boulders when they do their sculptures of a lion's head or a body or whatever. And they just start, they already see it. See, God already sees the plan He has in your life. God's a master sculptor. But you know what God does for us? What makes it hard is that there's the rock, and every day He'll just chip once. Bing! And that's it. He'll just watch you go through your day. He's working on you slowly. Slowly. He's breaking and shaping us into what He has predestined us to do for Him and live for Him. That's what God does. That's how He works on us. That's the sanctification process. We are the light of the world. Jesus says, He is the light. And He says, you will be lights too. Some of us at our work, we can be a light to someone. Some of you here have no idea that you're working and someone is really watching you. And in themselves, you have no clue God's using you, that you can be, that you're changing their lives. And then later on, they'll run into another brother or sister and they say, yeah, I work this with this Christian person. And I heard him say this. Can you pray for me? So continue to be a giving person. Show the transformation of your life to others. Because sometimes we have no clue God's using us. We really don't. But He is. And I like the last part of it's redemption, justification, sanctification. It hasn't happened yet. But one day we're going to have glorification, which is our glorified body. When we die, we're going to have transformed to a new body. I need a new one. This one's falling apart, man. I wake up now in the morning, it's hurting. I'm not young anymore. But we're going to be glorified with a new body. If you don't like how you look, guess what? You're going to look awesome when you get your glorified body, amen? Yeah, I promise you that. Well, God did, not me. He will give you a glorified body. And maybe you might look the same, but you're going to love everything because we're going to be in His presence. It's not going to matter anymore up there because we're going to be in His presence. It's going to be all light, no more darkness. That's awesome. I just love that. But let me ask you this. How does Jesus transform our lives? I believe it should be the next scripture in Philippians. Philippians 2:13. There it is. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. A lot of times we say, oh, I did this. No, it's God. You know, it's funny. God drew us to salvation. I even did it as a young Christian in my life, as a long fall. I used to say, oh, I came to the Lord, or I found Jesus. No, He found us. It was His will, plan, purpose to find us one day. Because we were lost. We were a mess. We needed help. And we're not there yet. We're being sanctified still. We're being still worked on. It's the process. And it's God who does all the work in us. It's kind of like a miner looking for silver. They're out there chipping, running through the water, looking through the rocks. We have it in us, and God's already placed it in us. We just got to get it out, find it, find the giving, the spirit of love and joy. It's in us. We just need to work at it. Just like that miner takes some work to find silver and gold. It's in there, though. It is in there. And Jesus will start working in you, but how? You need to get into His Word, folks. I didn't learn anything until I started reading. Jerry, never did I ever dream or think or fathom that I'd be up here speaking God's Word. Ever. I didn't even know what the Bible was. I'll be honest, I was an enemy of God. I was an enemy of God. But God started showing me new things through His Word. I started caring for people. I really did. I was a man full of rage. You start seeing things different. Very different. And I'll share my testimony in a nutshell so you guys will really know me. I want to be transparent. I want you to know who I am and who I am now in Jesus. At about the age of 14, 15, I took a real bad turn in life. I started messing up, got into drugs, alcohol, you name it, everything. Everything. Girls, partying, drinking, lying, cheating, stealing, you name it. I worked for many companies into my 20s. I was ripping them off. I used to drive bobtail for many years. I was a truck driver for about 10 years almost. Gas, diesel, oil. And I would make my side money. I just blew it. I made all these wrong decisions. All these wrong choices. But at 36, I came to Christ. They invited me to a men's retreat. And I got saved there in Los Angeles where the Mighty Ducks play. I'll never forget. Pastor Raul Reese was speaking. It was 5 speakers that day. We went back after lunch. And he goes up there. I never knew who Pastor Raul Reese was. He just started speaking 15 minutes into his speaking, which I didn't know nothing about God, nothing about the Bible, nothing about salvation. This man's speaking to me, and I don't even know who. I go, how does this guy know? How does he know I do that? How do you know I did that? He was talking about me, but he was talking about his life. Because he had the same lifestyle I led, but he was from East L.A., rough gangster. And I'm hearing this man, I'm like, no way, you did not know that one. He just went on and on. And about 30 minutes into, he just had this fire of speaking hard. I'm a real passionate speaker, but I'm trying to hold back. Anyways, and when he says, if no one in this room knows Christ, if you don't know Jesus, stand up. I didn't go over there to stand up or do anything like that. Something made me stand up. And the gentleman that took me was just a friend of my wife's husband. And I didn't quite know him. And when I stood up, I look at him and he's kind of, playing. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to say, but he was playing dumb. He was turned away. And I'm like, why did I stand up? No one else stood up. 8,000 men. No one stood up for me. 8,000 men. The whole building's lit up. And he goes, start walking. We're like Bob Uecker's way up there. Anyway, that's a long walk, Lord. Anyways, as soon as he said start walking, I started walking. I didn't plan to go down these steps. We're 3 levels up. I hit the bottom. When I hit the bottom, the lights went down about half, kind of like now. It's not that lit no more, and so I'm good. No one can see me. No one got up, just me. So he goes, start walking, brother. And the first minute I took a step, there was two paths going to the altar, or to the stage, big stage. On to the left of the corner of my eye, I saw this huge Hell's Angel biker. Big white guy. Big. I mean, I couldn't miss him because I saw him from the side of my eye. And I looked, and he's crying like, oh, he's walking up there. I'm like, all right, I feel better now. I don't feel so bad. He's crying. I'm not. This is all right. I can do this. So we get up there, and he's like, he's sniffling. He's there now, and he's like this. And I look up, and he goes, push your hands up like a rawr. Oh. And he had a voice with authority. Pastor Raul Reese, I'll never forget. Put your hands up. We put our hands up. We're looking at each other like, what? We're not stealing nothing. Check our pockets, really. You know? And he goes, close your eyes. Both of them. And he led us through the sinner's prayer. You know, Jesus in your heart. Da, da, da. And that went about 5 minutes. And he goes, keep your eyes closed. And I'm standing. All of a sudden, I start shaking. I'm not doing this. And I get hot and I'm sweating, then the music starts. And I happen to stand on the stage right in front of the drum set down here, and the bass drum, the wind of it's hitting my forehead. Boom, boom. I'm like, what is this? And before I know it, it goes, open your eyes. And I opened my eyes. 3,000 men got saved that morning with me. Isn't that amazing? I couldn't put my arms down. We were so packed up there. 3,000 of us got saved. So I'm turning around hugging guys I never knew, hippies, men with ties, kids, teenagers, adults, men in wheelchairs. I was like, yeah, I was in love, man, with people, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. And that's why I know. Sorry, Jerry. Jeremiah, I'm trying. I fell in love with people. And God gave me a new heart right there at that moment. I could feel it, man. So it's been 11 years now, and I cannot doubt, I cannot shut up, I will not quit, because I know who saved me. He changed my life. I could not believe, because I tried everything to quit, the drugs, the alcohol, the lying to my wife, being a cruel father, showing them how to drink, they would bring me my beers. oh man, God's love is amazing. His transformation kicked in, and I can't stop. I haven't stopped since. I've made my mistakes, my flops, my errors, of course. We all do. But just get up, man. Get up. Keep going. You've been already transformed, for those of you that know the Lord this morning. So not that only Jesus transformed us into a new abundant life, but our second point is this, that Jesus starts to change our way of thinking to be kingdom-minded. And the next scripture, I think, is there. There it is. What do you mean by kingdom-minded? There it is. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, it's okay what you do, how you work, where you work, whatever you do in life. In the morning, seek Him. If you forget, pray in your car. Talk with God. He's always, always listening. My mom is a Catholic, bless her heart. I don't knock her at all. But she will talk once in a while on the phone, and she'll say, gosh, son, I talk with God so much all day, I must tire His ear out. I go, Mom, no, on the flip side, He wants to hear more of you. I tell her, you can't wear God out. You can't wear His ear out. He's always leaning. He wants to hear more from you, Mom. You know what? They're hearing more about Christ. As I'm being, now I got a motorcycle. I'm visiting them more because gas is expensive. So the Lord, this bike was given to me. I know it's a blessing because now I can go to Brawley and visit my family and minister to them. And now they're hearing one of my younger and older sisters has been saved a few months now. Just by visiting and ministering, and they receive the Lord there from Mom's house. So we need to be transformed. We need to be talking about the love of God. And for some of us, this is a difficult area to control our thoughts. Because sometimes you see stuff and it's hard to get it out. That's a dwelling place. You can see something that will probably make you tempt you or make you slip up. Just move on. Don't hold that thought and dwell there, because the dwelling place is where it grabs you. Just don't dwell there. Move on. Move on. And some of us have a hard time there. So we need to be very careful what we get into. Look at the next scripture. I believe it's 2 Corinthians, if it's right on my paper. Look at what it says. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. You know why I say that? Because I was a baby Christian. I was serving the Lord at a little church in Brawley, a Pentecostal church. That's where we started. And I was a drummer there. I had a big drum set because I played in the world. Played in many bands. I recorded, played in clubs, LA, San Diego. Anyways, the Lord delivered me from all that trash. I don't like to play that stuff no more. I want to worship God the way He intended me to. And anyways, I'd sit there at this little church as the pastor's preaching. I'm not even paying attention. I'm looking at my drum set. Amen. I was just passionately in love with drums. My focus was wrong. And when God showed me that, that's when I really started studying. That's when He put the passion in me to want to speak. Because I was the last guy to speak. I was real hard, like I said, back in my life, real quiet, real angry. I wouldn't speak up, only to cuss someone out or get in a fight, which wasn't a good thing. But now He's transformed my way of thinking to have good thoughts. When these bad thoughts come, guys, think on Scripture. Think of someone's life in here or another brother and sister that are probably being blessed at the moment. Think on good things. Think of the positive, not the negative. Let's say you had a little powwow with your partner, your wife, or your girlfriend that day. Let it go. Love on them. It's funny, a year ago, my younger daughter, she's not here this morning, she did something at school, and anyways, long story short, I was going to get home. I knew she'd be sitting. Mom told me, she's going to be sitting on the couch when you walk in. Let her have it. And all day at work, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get her. And I'm like, yeah. But just as I was getting ready to go home to work, one of the another brother in Christ handed me a piece of pie, apple pie with whipped cream, cherry. Oh, it was delicious. I was going to eat it. So as I'm driving home, I'm looking at this piece of pie, and God goes, just give it to your daughter and don't tell her anything. I'm like, what? Are you kidding? No, Lord, that's for me, and I'm going to scold her. She blew it. But wait a minute. Who am I to judge, though? I'm not perfect either. I mess up. I go, okay, Lord, park the car, walk in. And the minute I looked at her, just love kicked in. I go, here, honey, it's okay. Whatever you did, I love you. And walked away. And she sat there and cried. Because that's love. Sometimes we know when we blow it. But love covers it all. God put me in check that day. I could have scolded her. I have every opportunity and authority to do that. I have every reason. But sometimes we need to back off a little and show them the love. That's a transformation that God wants in us. Let's see what the next verse says. Romans right there, Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world. I'm always talking to my daughters about when they go out, and it's bad, but there's nothing good out there sometimes. There's so much temptation, and I don't want them to make the same mistakes me and my wife made. But they're going to, and that's how they're going to learn. Bumps on the road, amen? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. There it is, though. This is what I tell my daughters. Prove what's good and acceptable and perfect. Will of God. You know, I've told them this. Christ sat with the worst of them. He would sit around tables with tax collectors, and I'm sure they were drinking their wine, having a good time, partying. But Christ didn't have to do what they did. He was the light. So that's what we're called to as well. We can be light to others. It's okay how they're living, how they look. Guard your heart and just love on them. Show them the love of Christ. And when that kicks in, God's passion to serve just kicks in. I love helping these guys, these pastors in this church, setting up, taking down, loading up. I know my purpose now is to serve at whatever capacity I can. Jeremiah, as soon as my bag goes out, I could probably just carry the mics on, right? I'm kidding. I am so blessed because I am healthy. God's kept me healthy. I can exercise, run. I do a lot of, I do side jobs. I do construction work. I am so blessed. I'm grateful every day to the Lord. But mainly because He's transformed my mind, my heart, my attitude, my character, my way of thinking. It's important what you're thinking, okay? I'm going to say this. I wrote it down, so I'm going to say it. If you're not serving in any kind of ministry at any kind of level or capacity, you need to check your heart. God wants you to serve in some kind of area. He could use you. At school, guys, I told you guys last time, Jeremiah, let me speak over there at the Remix. You guys are the only next Jesus they'll see. You guys are the only, you're it for the high schoolers, teenagers. You guys are it, man. Just live for Christ. And they're going to see, they're going to notice. And sometimes they will tell you stuff and make fun of you guys. It's okay. You got Jesus on your team. He's going to back you up. He'll make a way out. You know, I was bullied all my life from second grade all the way to junior high. So when I got in my freshman, I started, wait, I'm going to get this guy. And he left me alone after that. Oh, Frank grew up. Okay. I'm not a tall guy. I'm a short little Mexican. But next to him, I grew up. And I took care of business. Not a good thing. But he left me alone. But now I know how to handle it. Love. I'm transformed. I'm a child of God. And you know what's funny? I get a lot of people say, oh, well, you know what, Frank? I don't hear from God. Oh, I don't know what God wants for me. I even get this in circle, not in this church. This is for real, not in this church. Other circles I pray. And I'll ask an adult, would you pray or close in prayer? They'll smile. I don't know how to pray. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Prayer is no special thing. I love what Jerry said once up here. You don't need those, you don't need those big, massive words. Just talk with Him. Close it up. Thank you, God, for tonight. Donuts were good. Amen. Oh, I'm in the message too, Lord. Yeah, I love what they're talking here. Just talk with Him. He'll hear you. It's and you know what I always answer these people? Do you read your Bible? Do you see? It's all in here, guys. There's love stories in here. There's stories that if you like war and battle, and they're in here. If you like, I don't know, passionate stories, it's all in here. For all ages. Jesus said even a little child can understand this. If I can understand. I didn't graduate from high school. I graduated last year by the grace of God because my daughters and my wife said, you need a diploma so I can get my A's as a minister at a Bible school, so I needed a high school diploma. So 2 years ago, my daughter sat with me through Mrs. Proust at a Christian school there in El Centro, and I graduated. 46 years old, I graduated the class of 2008. I was right there, yeah. Well, glory to God. Praise the Lord. And that was Jesus. And now I got my A's license and everything. I love preaching. I always measure my find a drummer. That's why I asked the lady's son, Martha and Edward, have your son play next Sunday. I like, don't get me wrong, I love music. But this is more passionate for me. This is what has changed me. This is what helps me day by day. I have to read something in the morning. I have to, with my coffee. If you're in lunch, if you can't go to the restroom, I don't know. Do what you have to. You know, I worked at a facility in Brawley. I'm going to try and close. I talk a lot. I worked at a facility in Brawley. They didn't allow you to do that. So I go way in the back where these motors were in the room. There were compressors. It was an old system of an air conditioning system, a water cooling system. It was loud in there. Oh, man, I practiced all my praise God. And I'd get in there, yell and pray. They couldn't hear me. I'd read my Bible. I'd walk around the motors. I was preaching to pumps and all kinds of stuff. But God was using, preparing me. Like he's preparing you. You're all called to go minister. That's the greatest commission. Jesus left. Go out and make disciples. In other words, go tell everyone how you've been transformed. And you'll see your life transform and change right before your eyes. But a lot of times we can be too busy. And I don't knock this at all. Internet is great. All these Twitter texts, it's for good. But if you're spending too much time there, come on. Because a lot of people I know personally spend hours on the internet, hours on these airwaves, but they can't spend a few minutes in Scripture. Come on. Give God a little bit of time. Give him more. And you'll see. He'll make time for your internet. He'll make your agenda. He'll prioritize it for you. You know, when my wife became ill, couple of years ago, I was so busy in ministry. I was involved in a lot of stuff. God just moved it all out of the way. And now I go put in my 8 and I can spend all the time I want with her. And I've been blessed through that. I get to go home lunch if I wanted to be with her. I'm with her in the mornings. I can go right after work. I'm home. I don't want to do anything else right now. I want to spend time with my wife. And God made it. He made it happen. And everyone around my life and my job and everything I do, they're okay with it. And other people stepped in. You guys need to start stepping in. You need to be filling some gaps here in this remnant church. You guys can be used. There's a parable. This one gets a little bit more like Jerry says, amen or ouch. In Matthew 25, there's a story. I don't think I put it up there. There's a story about 10 young girls that are going to a wedding. Jesus is telling the story. The 10 virgins, okay? They're 10 young girls going to a wedding, waiting for the groom. Got late. Long story short, they fell asleep. But only 5 had their lamps lit, so when it got night, the groom's here. The 10 girls get up, but 5 don't have, it's dark. Where are we going? They can't see. The other 5 said, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. They're off to the wedding. See, we're the bride. The groom's going to come one day. You need to be ready. You need to have your lanterns filled with what? God's word. Be in his word. Seek him. How many of you seen the movie Transformers, the first one? Raise your hand. That was a cool movie. I liked the first one. I didn't quite like the second one. There were some scenes. Anyways, what did you notice? These cars were no more cars around the other ones, right? They were just cars, semis, trucks. But what happened the minute opposition came or challenging moments or troubles came? They transformed into these powerful. Was that cool, huh? So I didn't break dance before, please. I never break dance. I just made it up right now. They would transform. I don't know why I did that. They would transform into these powerful machines that took care of business. Guess what? That power is in you. God empowers you with that as well. You have a spirit of power in you. That's the Holy Spirit. There's nothing you can't do. You know that scripture? It says, Philippians 4:13, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There it is. You're like a transformer. You didn't even know it. Guess what? You're not even from this world. They should call me an alien for other reasons. But now I am an alien. Now I know I'm an alien. Yes, I am. I'm not from here. Where are you from? Show me your green card. No, I'm from over there. Had nothing to do with here. Anyways, here's my license. But yeah, I know I'm not from here. Once you grasp that, live it, believe it, you'll see God start transforming you. You'll start falling in love with his word and sharing it with others. At work, that's all I do 24/7 with the guys I work with. That's all we talk about, Bible and scripture and what's going on in their lives. Pray for each other. Call each other up once in a while. They're always asking for my wife just like you guys. You guys are a loving church. You guys are an awesome church. And my prayer is that it just grows. You guys need to draw the people, man. Invite someone. And we're going to need a bigger school. We're going to have to borrow Southwest one day, Jerry. We're going to move over there. We're moving church, as Jerry says. Literally. I like that. Moving church. Moving church. Last point. Not only does Jesus transform us into a new abundant life, not only does Jesus transform our way of thinking. Third point, Jesus starts to change our way of hearing so we can grow more spiritually. There it is. Hearing is very important. because we just read it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. We need to hear Jesus. Because today there's a lot of selective Christians, selective hearing, selective listeners. I like those people that come with, oh, Frank, I like Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves it all times. I like the Psalms. Nothing wrong with that. They're great scripture. Don't get me wrong. But I say, oh, really? How about where Jesus says, pray for your enemies? Huh? I don't think so. What's that? I remember what they did. That's love. That's where you're going to know you've been transformed. It's not easy sometimes. See, it's like a rock that sat right at the ocean front that was landed there for whatever reason, rough. But in the years of ocean, the waves hitting it and hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. The rock's going to diminish in size a little, but it gets smooth. See, we're like that rock. The waves of life are going to hit us sometimes, but you're being smoothed out for good purposes to be used by God. And that's what it's going to take sometimes, some pain. And a lot of us don't like that sometimes. Don't be selective listeners. Be submissive doers for God. Don't be selective. I mean, you got to take God's word face value, end to end. Or you're probably on the fence. I don't know. We need to practice. Jesus said after all the Beatitudes, in Matthew chapter 7, towards the end of that chapter, he says, in all these things, practice them. It's going to take practice. How many of you know how to use a computer here? Microsoft and all that good stuff that's out there, mumbo jumbo stuff that I don't know about. Okay, let me ask you this. Those that raise your hands. When you, all that you know right now, did you just sit there and you knew all that?
Yeah.
I'll pray for you later. It took practice, didn't it? Learning, searching, seeking. How do I do this? Oh, that's how you add the mic. I don't know none of that stuff. The guys here keep talking, you got to get Twitter. You got to get MySpace. I don't know how. I don't need to. I got this. How about this? Not knocking that. It's okay. But yeah, it's a process, guys. It's going to take a while. But God wants to work in you. See, Jesus took the first step for us by dying on the cross. Now it's up to us to take the step towards Him and start serving Him, living for Him. And of course, it's not easy. It's not easy. But God will transform your life. And this is the last scripture I want to share. We're being transformed into the image of Christ. I don't know if I put it up there. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Is that up there? There it is. This is the whole purpose. But we, meaning all the followers of God, all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being, there it is, transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're being transformed into Jesus, like Jesus. That's it. And it's going to take a while. It's going to be a process. Amen? So some of you are probably just facing some things right now. And it's okay. God's going to transform you. And as the worship team comes up, I want to share this little story about a caterpillar. My daughters have heard it. I think my wife. I don't know. Maybe some of you have heard it. But I'll close with this little story about a caterpillar that wanted to get transformed. There was a little caterpillar. And he was right there in the tree. And mom and dad were there. And then that little caterpillar was looking at the busyness of the day and all the things that were out there. Oh, mom, dad, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. I can't wait. I'm going to get a job. I have money. And then he just went every day. Mom said, no, son, you got to just take your time. We got to seek God and the Lord will show us. Oh, okay. And this went on. And finally, he's going in his cocoon. He's cocooning up. Yes, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to have money. I'm going to do this. He's just making all his own plans. Like, kind of like the Burger King slogan, have it your way. He's just doing it his way. And he's all cocooned up. And he's sitting there waiting. Some days go by. Oh, I got dizzy. Anyway, he's in his cocoon waiting. Some time goes by, of course, and he can't wait. I got to get out there. He could hear the cars, the bustle of the day, and things going on, people and stuff. So finally, he just said, I'm out of here. I'm not going to wait. And he breaks the cocoon open, and his wings kind of come out. But he's stuck halfway in his cocoon, and he's not fully transformed yet. He goes, I want to go out there. And he goes to the edge of the limb with the cocoon, dragging the cocoon halfway out of his body. And he's looking around. His parents are going, not yet. Don't go yet. I can do this, Mom. I got this, Dad. And he's not out of his cocoon yet. So he goes to fly. And guess what? He goes straight down. Straight to the ground. Right on the floor. Bam. And all these people walking by, can you help me? Anybody help me? No one sees him. He's looking for help. He's not fully transformed yet. He didn't wait. So anyways, this man looks down. Oh, look at what a beautiful, I'll help him. Takes the cocoon off. Ah, the butterfly says, yes, now I'm going to do it my way. And then the bird comes and whoosh, ate him. Ate him. See, you need to wait and taste and see that the Lord is good. He'll transform you in His time. Don't rush it. Some of you are probably can't wait for something, but wait on it. Wait on it. Let God work in you. He's transforming you as He works in you. That's what it's going to take. Giving will always overtake getting when you have the passion and the love of Christ in you. He'll transform you if you let Him.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.